So he's born in 1815, in the year that Napoleon is defeated. He is, in some ways, in background sort of the archetypal Prussian Junker. He is from that aristocratic background of those German aristocrats, Prussian aristocrats that have their estates east of the River Elbe. In other ways, though, he isn't your traditional aristocrat, your traditional Junker. So, although his father had been a member of the landed gentry, on his mother's side, he's descended from civil servants and a slightly more bourgeois background. His upbringing, if you like, is partly therefore this sort of landed gentry background, but also he's much better educated, I think, than a lot of these aristocrats. He goes to university at Göttingen. He studies law, and he is, as a young man, he's a very wild young man. He likes drinking, fighting. He eats to excess, he drinks to excess, he does everything to excess. And to a certain extent, throughout his life, he's got that kind of thing going on. He's a big man. If you see photos or portraits of him, and sort of he's always carries a lot of weight on him, but he's got big appetites. He drinks a lot, he eats a lot, he smokes a lot. He's got this reputation as being this political genius, which I think is true, and he is a very skillful politician. But he's a very emotional figure as well, in some ways. So when you read about his relationship with Kaiser Wilhelm I, it reads like a marriage a lot of the time. They're always having arguments, they're slamming doors, bursting into tears. There's a lot of sort of this emotive stuff going on with it, and I think a lot of historians recently have drawn on that in trying to understand Bismarck and trying to understand his psychology as well. So he's got this sort of aristocratic background. He presents himself as sort of your typical Prussian Junker, servant of the state. But what he does in terms of his politics, I think to a certain extent, belies that. In the period after he leaves university, when he does go back to the family estates and he's supposed to be being the country gentleman, he always says that he's very bored during that period. And so when he is called in after the revolutions of 1848 to sort of come back and be involved in Prussian politics, he sort of jumps at the chance. And that's really the making of him at that point. He'd had quite a dissolute youth before that, but he's sort of called upon by right-wingers to come and take a position in the Prussian parliament. He's seen as an arch-reactionary, but again, I think what he does later on is not what you would expect from sort of this arch right winger, this exponent of the traditional order. In many ways, he upsets the traditional order after 1862 when he becomes Prussian Prime Minister.